Good morning. I realize that today is Father's Day, but I'm not going to really be talking about Father's Day today, except to join Barry in wishing all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day, and to say, I hope you like the tie. Today's scripture passage is taken from Johannine epistles, 1 John. There are three, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, kind of an obvious way to name them, isn't it? As I read this, you may notice, having just heard John 3:16 and the passage following that, you may notice that there's considerable similarity in terms of style and content, which would suggest, at least, probably common authorship between the Gospel of John and the Johannine letters. So we're going to be reading from John 4. Let me see where I'm going to be reading from. John 4, yes, 13 to 21. John 4. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters, are liars. For those who do not love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Very often I wonder, as I try to deal with life with all of its complexities, with its mystery, life with all of its greatness and its commonness, with its chaos and its manifest order, I wonder sometimes how it came to be. Oh yes, I remember the stories of Genesis, of how God's brooding spirit moved over the watery abyss, of how he scooped up a handful of clay and molded a man and breathed upon him and made him live. I remember that. But that pre-creative image came of a simpler time, not an easier one, surely, but simpler. And so I wonder still how you and I came to be. Once I gazed into a microscope, and there in a droplet of water, I saw creatures so tiny that hundreds of them swam within the confines of that drop. But they lived and they moved and they had their being, even as did I in that moment. Tiny, complex fragments of life whose universe was so small that I could not comprehend it. Yet beyond the creatures that I could see, I knew that there were yet tinier bits of life and matter and energy outside my powers to observe. Yet a part of God's creation. On still another occasion, I gazed into the eyepiece of a telescope, and I saw there a feathery wisp. And I knew that I was looking at a galaxy whose light had been traversing space for 10 billion years. I knew that I was seeing not into the present, but into the far distant past. And my hand trembled upon the eyepiece with the knowledge that I was looking at the unbelievable vastness of God's creation. And I wondered at God, whose being could encompass and care for 100 billion stars, the creatures in the droplet, and for me. I said, "It cannot be. Surely we are alone and desolate in our droplet of the universe. It is impossible that any being should know and care for all of this." Then Jesus looked at me with a patient smile and said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And so I knelt and bowed my head and closed my eyes in order that I might pray. "Oh God," I said, a car door slammed. "Dear Lord," I prayed, a siren wailed. "Our Father," I whispered, a train rumbled past. And through my ears and half-closed eyes, the world impinged upon my thought and prayer. The lovely words, the stately phrases were lost in the din of the moment. I cried out, "How can God know my need unless I speak?" Christ gazed from patient eyes and said, "Your Father knows your need before you ask him." Perhaps, I thought, perhaps. I wandered down the bleak and desolate streets of the city, a place as alien to me as the distant galaxy. It was January, and the crusted, grimy snow lay in man-made drifts along the curb. Two children pelted one another with dirty snowballs. Hands which, but for their blackness, would have been red and stinging with the cold. An old man pulled a wagon load of wood along the street. The charred shell of a burned-out house told me of how the fire trucks had come too late. An old woman shivered in her ragged shawl. It was January in the city street, and the bleakness there was as oppressive as the frozen lake and chilling wind. For the body and the bones absorbed the aching loneliness of the crowded city street. And where is God now, I thought. Congealed into the tiny frozen droplet of water, dispersed in the distant galaxy, where? Not here, surely. Not here amidst the ache and the cold and the loneliness of the city. This is the place of men and women alone, God-forsaken, lost, living death, dying to life. Is this indeed the place where God is not? Oh, no. The old disciple said, "God is here too. Here too." But where, I wondered, in the dirty snowdrift, in the heavy load of wood, in the blackened shell of the house, where? "In you," he said. "In you. For God is love. And God is in you when you love too. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother or sister, he does not tell the truth. He lies. For if we cannot love our brothers and sisters whom we have seen, then how can we love God whom we have not seen?" This this is God's commandment, that one who loves God must also love his brothers and sisters. Yes, God is love. And you and I, we are the bearers, the instruments, the vessels of God's love. Created in the image of God who is love, we too are love. And our prayer to be worthy is not so much in the words we speak as in our willingness to be created in the image of God who is love.